Book of Luke, chapter 14, starting from verse 1.
And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him.
Now here we see Jesus Christ is invited in the one of the Pharisees' house. But this time, not an ordinary Pharisee, the chief Pharisee invites him. And then you can see, he says, they watched him. Now when somebody invites you, and they keep on watching you, every move what you do, you feel uncomfortable. But Jesus was not uncomfortable. Because Jesus, wherever he goes, he has mission to do. Verse 2.
And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy.
Behold, there was a certain man before him. What happened? These Pharisees, he invited all the lawyers, all the rich people, all the Pharisees, and this was a feast in his house. I don't think this man with the dropsy was invited. They might have bought this man with a purpose. See what Jesus Christ can do. Maybe he was hiding somewhere, or I don't know. All of a sudden when Jesus comes, they might have pushed him in front of him. Here this man is in front of Christ. Now, I don't know you know this sickness of the dropsy. Now I'll tell you what dropsy is. Dropsy is the disease. Your legs become like elephant legs and your hands, and so it's very uncomfortable and you cannot walk properly, and I don't think there was any cure in those days. And Jesus saw this man. Now Jesus knew what's going on, but he just simply asked them a question. What they're thinking. Let's read Luke 14:3.
And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him, and healed him, and let him go.
He asked them a question. The lawyers and Pharisees, all those people, they know the Old Testament law. There is nothing in the law can say in Sabbath day, don't heal somebody. So Jesus asked them a question. Tell me, is there in the law somewhere says you should not heal somebody on Sabbath day? And they just kept quiet. They had no answer. So what Jesus Christ does, heals this man and tells him, now you go. Can you imagine? This man was not able to move around. Right away, this all swelling went away, and the man became completely normal. And Jesus Christ said, now you can go home. Now just think, this man was invited for dinner or supper. These Pharisees will not allow him to go. They will say, no, Jesus, this is one of our guests. And we invited him for the dinner. Thank you very much for healing him. But they didn't say anything like that. Let's see the verse 5.
And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit, and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things.
After this man was healed, ask them another question. Tell me, in Sabbath day, one donkey or one ox falls in a well, can you go and pick that animal out of that well? And some translation said, even your son falls in the well. Will you go and pick that person or let them die? And the word of God says, again. They didn't say anything. They kept their mouth shut. And so now, Jesus Christ is giving them a parable. Luke chapter 14, verse 7.
And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee.
Now here he gives a parable. He says, if there is a dinner party, so Jesus Christ knew this man was not invited for the dinner. And then he saw each and everyone coming and getting the higher seat. When Jesus Christ is watching, people are coming and sitting the highest place. So that's why he said, if there is a wedding and you are invited in a wedding for the supper or dinner, what you should do. Nowadays, if there is a hotel or there is a special room, they will put some tags reserved or special for some people. And if you didn't see it and you just go and sat there, some ushers will come and say, sir, this is not for you. Go and sit somewhere else. And you feel embarrassed. So Jesus Christ is giving them a simple example. If you are invited for a wedding, go and sit in the lowest place. And just think that you are his best friend. Then he comes and everybody's sitting and he says, well, I invited one of my best friends. Where is he? And somebody says, oh, he's sitting in the back. He goes and says, sir, I have reserved a place for you. Come on. And then he brings him. You will feel good that you have given honor and you are a special guest and everybody will look at you. So that's the way to do it. The Lucifer exalted himself. He said, I will be like God. But there was a war in heaven. Lucifer was defeated and he is lower down to hell. Many of his followers, they are in chain in darkness right now. And so the word of God is saying you should be very careful not to be so proud. Humble yourself so God can exalt you. And then he was saying, when you invite somebody, dinner or supper, don't invite your friends, brethren, kinsmen, rich neighbors. If you invite them, what will happen? They will invite you back and you will get your reward. So most of the people in America as well as around the world, I don't think when they have a party, they don't invite their relatives and friends and the rich men and their bosses. They don't go to the street and say, hey, come. Lame man, blind man, and homeless man, come for a party in my house. I never saw anybody doing it. But Jesus Christ says, you better do that way. Let's go back. Book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 13.
But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
Now he's saying, call the people who are like having some deformity. blinds, deaf, lame, beggars, cannot cook for themselves, and nobody invites them. Invite them. Give them the food. And then you will have your reward in the time of resurrection. That means that resurrection is for the righteous people. If you are not righteous, you are not godly, you are not going to make it to resurrection. So when you start doing this kind of stuff, God might have mercy on you and you will be in the resurrection. Then some man was sitting there. He said, I'm going to ask Jesus a question. Because he knew there will be supper in the kingdom of God. And we will be going in a kingdom of God and we will have a feast. So he's asking a question. Let's read. Luke chapter 14, verse 15.
And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.
That was a good question. He said, that will be a soul blessing that someone is invited in the kingdom of God and we'd have a great supper with God. Who are these people here? Lawyers, Pharisees, rich people, and the poor man who was sick. This man was not invited. Jesus Christ healed this man and said, go away. That time nobody said, oh, this man is invited for food. That's why Jesus Christ said, you are invited, rich people. Then this man says, it will be a blessing if somebody is invited to have food or have the dinner or party in the kingdom of God. Actually, he says, eat bread. Means just eating with God, it will be a blessing. What Jesus Christ says, let's read. He gives another parable.
Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. And then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Here we see Jesus Christ is giving another example to these lawyers and Pharisees. What would happen in the kingdom of God? And who are those people are invited? He says he invited somebody. And he says most of all people gave excuse. But he gave only 3 examples. But the word of God says all gave excuse. One person said, I just bought a land. I have to go and check it out. One person said, I just got the 10 oxen. I want to go and check it out. One person said, I just got married. So we are going on honeymoon. We don't want your dinner. And so now, many people were invited because you see, there was a plenty of room. So he said, all invited people had some excuses. The master of the inner house, he was a little bit angry. I made a best food for these people and they don't want to come. God invited all of his people and those people have excuses. And not a single person was able to come. In the book of Matthew, chapter 8, verses 11 and 12. Please read.
And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
What is this trying to say? Many are invited, but they could not come. So he says, from the east, west, north, south, people will be coming. And they will be sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the people who were the belong to kingdom, they will be cast out in the outer darkness, means they will be sent to hell. Why? Because they deny Christ. Today, we are inviting many people. We are inviting all kinds of people, come, come, come. But everybody has an excuse. So when the master said, you know, I have an idea. Go out and find out if there is anyone. Any person have a disease, paralyzed, blind, deaf, or cannot move around. Bring that person and we'll feed that person. And he went and he says, Master, we got all people, but still there is a room. He said, now you go on highways and byways in all the small alleys. Find out if anyone sitting around and bring them and then we will feed them. Because he said, Master, there is still room. So one day I was saying, why Jesus Christ is not coming? The Bible says maybe there is still room in heaven. So we have to go highways and byways. And the word of God says here, compel them to come. Even though they say, oh, I have some excuse. No, please come. The other one, he did not compel them. Because they promised they will come. You know, they send the invitation and then you have to sign it, I'm coming. And so how many people they sign up, that much food is prepared. And those people said they are not coming, they have no excuse. But these people, they were not invited. So he said, go and compel them and bring them. And everybody, they came in. So what the word of God is saying, we are not inviting people to church. The word of God says you should go house to house. Only Jehovah's Witnesses are doing it. Mormons are doing it. But all full gospel people, they don't go to house to call people. But the word of God says, go to the highways and byways. Wherever you find people, invite them, compel them, and bring them. People are saying, oh, God is everywhere. We don't have to go to church. But book of Hebrews, it says, you should be gathering together, worshiping together, because time is at hand. Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming for his church. We cannot play game. Otherwise, the word of God says, they will be cast out to outer darkness. Go back to the book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 24 and 25.
For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper.
So he said, all these people were invited. Not a single person will taste my food. You remember what the man asked the question? He said, those people will be blessed if they come to the kingdom of God and have a dinner with God. In short, he says, none of them will be coming. All these Pharisees, all these lawyers, they are not going to come there. They will be sitting outer darkness. And the people who are poor and lame and heathen and coming from east and west and south and north, those are the people are coming and sitting and eating with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you will be cast out in the outer darkness, means in hell. There you will be grinding your teeth. Verse 25.
And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
The dinner is finished, and Jesus Christ walked away. But I can see other people were not invited for the dinner. So as soon as Jesus comes out of this Pharisee's house, multitude of people followed him. So he is going and people following him. So what he did? He turned around and started saying to those people, when you read in this King James, the language is used very rough language. I'll show you what I mean. He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. It sounds so cruel. He says, I hate my dad. I hate my mom. He says, why you do that? Bible says you should hate your father, you hate your mother, you hate your wife, you hate your children, you hate everybody. But that's not the meaning comes. The real meaning is this: if you love your father more than me, you're not my disciples. Or if you love your mother more than me, then you're not my disciples. Or your wife, or anyone. And he says, not even yourself. You cannot have self-pity. Oh, me and my. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about my life? My life. He says, you won't be able to be my disciples. You have to love Jesus more than yourself. And then following, he says, verse 27, you have to pick up your cross and follow me. Go ahead.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Now here is saying, you have to carry your own cross. Now some people say Jesus Christ already died on the cross. Is he calling each and every Christian has to be crucified? No. He's trying to say cross is the type of suffering. So he said, I suffer for you. And Peter says, follow the steps of Christ. He already suffered for us. He already gave an example. So we should follow his steps. We are living in this world, but we are not living for us. We are living for God. Many people, they are living for themselves. They are thinking, me, my wife, my children, my family, and somebody, why didn't you come to church? Oh, I have to take care of my children. I took them to zoo. I took them to some kind of places. And sound good. But the Word of God says, no, you are not my followers. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, what he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. We have to think about God. If you start thinking about children, thinking about your wife, thinking about your house, there was one family was coming, and they were living in a row house. All of a sudden, they got a single house. And the lady stopped coming to church. I said, sister, why are you not coming? Oh, I just bought the new house. Just like those people said, I bought a land. I bought a oxen. I just got married. And what are you doing? I'm looking at my house. I'm looking at my house. And I want to enjoy my house. I said, ma'am, one day will come. We will leave everything here. And we have to go. Whose house will be this? And so the people are not understanding that our life on this earth is very short. Very short life. But we are thinking about many, many, many years on this earth. But the rich man, he got the lot of craft, and he says, I'm going to break down my old barns, and I will build them new, and make a big storage, and I'll store it for many, many years to come. What God says, thou fool, tonight your life will be taken out of you. He didn't say, I'll keep it for my children, my wife, my family. No, he was not married, no children, nobody. So he said, what will happen? You have all this stored for you. Tonight, you're going to die. Life is very short. So Jesus Christ is saying, you want to follow me? Then you love me more than your father, your brother, your sister, your children, even your own life. Then you will be my disciples. And that's why many of his disciples gave up everything. Peter was a fisherman. He was not only ordinary fisherman, he had the partners. Means he had the big business. He left everything, and his partner left everything, and they followed Christ. And one day Peter started thinking, we left everything. What are we going to get? Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Start reading from verse 27. Book of Matthew 19, 27 to 30.
Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, he also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
See, here Jesus Christ is saying, Peter, you left your house and your family and everything, and you followed me, and you're asking me what I'm going to get. He said, if you left one house, I'll give you 100 houses. Somebody said, how it works? It will work. If you give up your everything and you start following Christ, anywhere you go, you will have houses to live. You will have money to spare. And the word of God says you will have 100-fold in return. And today, when the children of God, they became rich, some of the ministers, I don't want to give their names, but they didn't have money to put it in offering, a penny even. Today they have their own airplanes in America. How did they get it? They dedicate their lives. And they said, Lord, if I get something, I'm going to give it to you. And they are giving their tithes and offerings to God. And everywhere they go, they have headquarters, buildings, churches around the world. So the word of God is saying, if you give up something for me, you're not a loser. You're going to get 100-fold in return. And you will have more than enough. And not only that, you will be kings and priests. And you will be ruling over the children of Israel. That's the great blessings God has given. I didn't know all of these things when I followed Christ. I heard the message when I was dedicated to the Lord, and one man was preaching, and he said, you know what you're going to get? You don't get any salary. But you have to give something. You have to give your tears. You have to give your sweat. You have to give your blood. Are you ready? And there were so many, some of them left. And after the message, there were very few. I knew I will be not getting salary. I will be not having any luxury. I have to suffer, give my blood and sweat, and I was ready because I made up my mind, follow the Lord. And according to what God said to Peter, exactly happened to me. In India, I was not able to go on a one radio station. It was so expensive. After coming here, I went to hundreds of radio stations. And when you calculate, like $140,000 for those programs I did. When you multiply that $140,000 by 50 or 45, you will see millions of dollars you have to spend to do those programs. So how it happened? When you give it up, God multiplied. And everything is done. That's what the Word of God is saying. You give up something for me, I will give you hundredfold. When I start really calculating, it's more than a hundredfold what God has given to me. I gave up everything and followed Christ. Okay, let's read. Go back to the Luke chapter 14, verse 27.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?
Now, he's saying, when you come and follow me, you have to know you are going to pay the price. First of all, he says you have to bear your own cross. Building a house is not an easy thing. But building a tower is more harder than building the house. Because the tower is high, takes more money, takes more labor. So he says, if there is a person wants to build the tower, he has to sit down and calculate how much money it will cost to build my house or build my tower, and calculate and then do it. And he says, read the following verse, verse 29. If that person did not calculate, then he will be embarrassed.
Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him.
That's what happens. There was a one man on Risingston Avenue. He bought a plot and built the foundation and could not finish. That building was sitting there at least 25 years. Finally, somebody bought it, and now there's a big building. But the point I'm making, the man who started building his building and could not finish it and sat there for 25 years, many people walking by making fun of him. They didn't know who the man was. The Word of God says people will be mocking him, saying, who is this foolish man? If he didn't have the money, why did he buy the land? Why didn't you finish it? So here the Word of God is saying, if you wanted to go to the ministry, why don't you think, if you go to the ministry, how are you going to support your family? What will happen? Just don't leave them and just, he says, you don't love them more than me. That doesn't mean you don't care about them. That won't be a Christian way to do it. What I did, I sat there and calculate, just like here says. Find out you're building the tower. You sit down and calculate, can you finish it? Otherwise, people will laugh at you. I sat down and start thinking. I'm the one, the first son in my family. I'm the one have a good job with the air-conditioned office, making more money than my younger brother. And so I sat down with my brother. And I said, brother, someday God is going to call you or me in the ministry. What are we going to do? If God calls me, will you take care of the family? He said, yes, sir. And I said, if God calls you first, I will take care of the family. And we decided. And when God called me, I called him. I said, do you know what you promise? When I go, you will take care of the family? He said, yes. Are you still going to keep the word? He said, yes, sir. When I talked to my boss, it's a long story. The boss gave me some money. And he said, I'm giving this money like your retirement pay or something. But you're not just walking away. Take this money. Enjoy the money. And if you made up your mind back again to you need a job, you just call me and I'll rehire you. I said, no, sir. I'm going for good. I took that money, give it to my brother. I did not count. I did not take a one penny out of it. I gave it to my brother. And I said, now you take care of the house. And that's the way I left. But the point I'm making, when God called me, I gave up everything and followed the Lord. God supplied all my needs. When I want to come to America, I had a rich believers. I could just say somebody, give me $10,000. I'm going to America. They will give $20,000. I'll give you one example. I wanted to go and get my passport. I went to get my passport and they said, do you have a $20,000 in a bank? I said, for what? I'm going to America. Why I need the money in here? They said, but if you go to America and you did some crime or you died, your dead body, we have to bring it to India. Who is going to pay for it? I said, well, I don't have the money. When you have money, come for passport. And I was talking about going to America. Here one family, the lady got so sick, she told the man, go to Pastor Peter and bring him so he can pray for me. He said, I'm not going. He was a Catholic. I'm not going. We have a Catholic church. We can go there. She was disappointed. And I was praying in my church early in the morning. And so I saw a vision. The lady is sick and she is telling her husband to go and call Pastor Peter and he's not going. So the Spirit of God said, why don't you go? So it was like a 2.5 miles. I took my bicycle and went to that person's house and he's taking his bicycle and he was a little bit nasty. He said to me, did angel tell you something? I said, why? I was just coming to your place and you are already here. I said, yes, sir. Angel did tell me to come here. That's why I'm here. And so I went there and I said to the man, what is the problem? He says, ask her. I said, sister, what's the problem? Ask him. I said, don't tell me. Because the lady had the bad disease. She was bleeding. Like the lady in the Bible. 12 years, she was bleeding. The same kind of disease this lady had. She's a nurse. She had the money. She had the doctor. She has the medicine. It's not working. So she called me and I said, sister, don't tell me anything. God knows everything. I laid hand and prayed and I left. God healed that lady completely. Then she calls me, Pastor Peter, my sister, married to a medical doctor for 12 years, no children. Could you please pray that she could have a child? I said, okay, let's do this. We set up a date. You stay in that date in your house and pray. I will sit in my church and I pray and tell your sister to take a day off, sit at home, and we three people pray together. And God will hear our prayer. And all of a sudden, that lady became pregnant. She wants you to come and visit her. I said, what am I going to do there? I'm going to America. When are you going? I said, well, I was talking to her husband. I said, I went to the passport office and they said, you need at least $20,000 in your account, or some other person who has a $20,000 in their account, they should sponsor you. He said, I have no problem to sponsoring you. This is the man was telling her, I cannot go and call Pastor Peter. Now he said, I have no problem sponsoring you for $20,000. If my wife is agree, and she was in the kitchen, she said, what is it? Pastor Peter wants to go to America. He needs a $20,000 a deposit in the bank. Give him the whole bank book and let him have it. I said, I don't need the money. Just the government wants to see if somebody has the money and they sponsor me if I die or if I do some crime and they send me back to India, then you have to help me that money. So until I became an immigrant, you cannot touch that money. The man says, I have $50,000 in this account. I have $80,000 in another account. And I have a couple of us in another account. So he actually gave me the bank book and a letter. And when I got the letter, I got my passport. I did not take his money. I didn't do any crime. Thank God I'm a citizen. He's free. If I wanted to ask somebody, the same man, give me $20,000, I need a ticket to go to America, he would have given me. I said to my wife came 6 or 7 months earlier than me. So she said, I'm going to send you the ticket. I said, don't send me a penny. I'm not going to tell you what airline I'm coming. I will come and knock at the door, and then you know I'm here. Why I said this? Because my wife will be calling all the airlines. She will be so much depressed. Every day she will be calling and waiting, and she might be come to the airport and wait for me. So I said, I'm not going to tell you. And God did a miracle. It's a long story. Somebody gave me an envelope and a ticket. And when I saw the envelope, exactly the way I wanted to go. I said to the man, I want to go from Ahmedabad to Bombay, Bombay to London, London to France, and France to America. And exactly the ticket was. When I came, knocked at my wife's door in Brooklyn, New York. So the point I'm making, the Word of God says, when you want to build a tower, sit down and calculate. And I sat down and calculated how much it will cost me to go. God supplied my need. Let's go back. Book of Luke, chapter 14, verse 30.
Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple.
So what he's trying to say? Building a house, building a tower, or going to war? It costs money. It costs lives. So you have to think, I'm going, am I ready? And so if you don't calculate properly, you will be in jeopardy. That's what he's trying to say. That's what he says. If you want to follow me, if you want to be my disciples, you have to forsake all. Okay, let's finish. There are a couple of verses. Luke chapter 14, verse 34 and 35.
Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, somebody will say, what in the middle of this is giving the example of the salt? Do you know what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 5? He said, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And so if you are the light of the world, you should shine. Let the people see the light. You should not have any darkness, means sin, in your life. And the same way, if you are the salt of the earth, your talking should be seasoned with the salt, the word of God says. So that means you speaking to other people with the grace, so the people can follow Christ. And so your life should be able to bring people to Christ. You know what the salt does? Salt have preservative. That means in the olden days, if you want to preserve the fish, they will keep the salt, a lot of salt. And that's, those salty fishes still are sold in the market today. You put a lot of salt in that, and so that fish will stay years without refrigerator. And so the salt have preservative. Salt have good taste. He said salt is good. And now many people are saying salt is bad for you. They are not allowing you to eat salt. But salt is needed in your body. If you're going in a hot summer day like this, and if you don't have salt in your body, you can get a stroke. When we were in the village, and 110 degree, we don't have cold water, we have to go in the farm, my father will say, son, take this handful of salt and eat. So I would take that salt and keep on eating. But I didn't get any disease, but God protected me from having stroke. But that salt should have a taste. If you lose the taste, then it's no good. They say it will be no good for the land, no good for a dunghill. Dunghill means they used to do some kind of all these rubbish things. They will put it in a dunghill. And after 10 years or 20 years, farmers use in their field as a, what do you call, fertilizer. And so he says, but this salt will not good for fertilizer or good for nothing. They will throw it on the street. And I was in India, I said, I never saw people throwing salt in the street. But when I came to America, here people throw the salt on the street. What salt is that? Useless salt. You cannot use it for eating, so they put it in the winter time on the street. So this is true. Well, after coming here, I came to know. So he said, if the salt loses the taste, it is useless, and you cannot make that salt salty without a salt. And nobody will take the bad salt and put it in a salt and use it again. They will use the best salt. So the point God is saying, if you lost your salt, you are worthless. People will be trampling you under their feet. And so what will happen? The word of God says God has called us with a definite high calling. We are going to go to heaven. We are not going to go to hell. So keep the salt, keep the light, and be useful vessel of God, and do the works of God. He says, you have called to do the service to God. If you don't do it, what will happen? He says, you will be useless. So he says, he that hath ears, let him hear. So what the word of God is saying? People are listening every day. Where the words are going? They listen this way, goes this way. Do you have ear to hear? Then hear it. What does it mean? Put it in a practice. The word of God is saying, are you qualified to do my work? Are you following me? Are you listening to me? I have decided to follow Jesus and no turning back. Though none go with me, I will follow. So what I'm trying to say, Jesus Christ is saying, follow me. Give up everything. Don't love for your life. Love me more than yourself. And that's what you have to do. You have to say, Lord Jesus, here I am. I give everything what I have because you gave last drop of blood for me. So let's pray. Shall we rise? Let's pray and ask God, Lord, so give me grace to go the highways and byways. Compel them to come to church. Compel them, come to Christ. Give me grace. We are all soldiers, all workers in Christ's vineyard. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have called us with a definite high calling and no turning back. But your word says, my grace is sufficient. And Lord Jesus, give us grace to be winner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please be seated.